Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And so please, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Jude, and we're going to conclude this beautiful epistle. And we're going to start with verse 19 through 25, and that'll be the conclusion of this beautiful epistle. I'm praying about what we're going to be teaching on next week. But I've been blessed. I've been enlightened. And one of the things that I find so fascinating with the book of Jude, it parallels to the time that we live in today. You see, my friends, Jesus talked about this. He talked about it in Matthew chapter 24. He talked about what we would see, this generation would see in the days that we would live in. And one of the key signs for you and I to truly understand where the clock has started to tick now is when Israel became a nation in 1948. And so once they came back to the land, now everything that we're seeing in the book of Matthew, the book of Daniel, Zechariah, it's now coming to fruition, meaning everything that was prophesied is now converging. We're seeing this take place now. And so, my friends, we're living in some radical times. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. Yes, we are. And so let me get your attention right here on the screen right up here. And let's go here. And I've entitled this evening's message, Building Up Your Most Holy Faith. Building up your most holy faith. Praise God. Let me just pause there, then we're going to get into the Word. But this is a time, saints of God, that we need to come together in the unity of the faith. This is a time now that we need to be about our Father's business. We're seeing the radical agenda that's taking place in our land today. We're seeing so much violence in our nation. We're seeing radical wars take place. We can go to our cell phone now and see right then and there, meaning live on our phone, the war that's taking place in Ukraine. And it's right before us, saints. Before, we didn't have that kind of technology. Before, we would just wait on newspapers and radio. But now, we can see what's happening on the other side of the globe instantaneously. We're living in radical times. Jesus said in the book of Matthew that there would be false teachers, and this is what we're going to conclude in the book of Jude, that they were dealing with very false teachers. Well, he said in the last days, there will be false Christs, false prophets, false teachers, no differently, leading them astray. And so, my friends, we need to be about our Father's business. We need to bring truth and the light to the matter that deal with the issues of our heart. Can I get an amen in the house? Oh, that's right. You and I, and God's predestinated mind, has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You and I now have an obligation to speak truth, to pull those out of the fire that are perishing right before us. As we see Russia destroying Ukraine and many are dying in the streets, just imagine how many friends and family that surround our life that are spiritually dying. And they need salvation like you and I, my friends. We need to be about our Father's business. And so I'm excited about this evening's message, and we're gonna continue to conclude this book. So let's go there right now, starting with verse 19. And the Word of God reads, "These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Let me just pause there. We'll continue. Saints, this is why we need to have prayer meetings. We need to come together. We need to be praying in the Holy Ghost. We need to pray until something happens. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. Some of us have abandoned prayer, but we need to be praying. We need to put our face to the floor and cry out to God in the times that we live in. Listen, there's people that are dying left and right that surround our life. Some of them, yes, praise God, they knew Christ, but some of them don't know Him. And it's our duty as a born-again child who has repented from our sins. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. And we're heaven bound and hell to shun. We're the ones that need to have the mouthpiece now, my friends. But Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and to the Gentiles. We need to be no different. If you're ashamed to speak and preach the gospel to a stranger or to a friend and family, then maybe something hasn't yet clicked inside so that you would be able to rescue them out of the fire. We're going to look at some scriptures regarding that. Let's continue with this right now. Look at this in verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Look at that. Hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Verse 24 and 25, look at this. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you what? Faultless. Say that with me. And to present you faultless, praise God, before the presence of His glory. Hallelujah. With exceeding joy. To God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now forever and ever. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. So let's break this down and let's allow the Holy Ghost to go where He wants to go with us tonight. And it says in verse 19, these are sensual persons who cause division, not having what? The Spirit, capital S. Praise God. You see, saints, these false teachers should have been easy to spot. And they were not godly ministers. Rather, they lived by natural instinct, living to please themselves and their sinful desires. Oh, yes. They did not have God's Spirit living in them. They were not anointed by God. You know, they had all the Christian cliches. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You know, I'm praying for you. But they lived the life of duplicity. You could imagine how they were at home. They didn't have the Holy Spirit to bridle their tongue. You see, my friends, they set themselves above all other Christians because of their imagined and superior knowledge and understanding of their freedom in Christ. And those allegedly enlightened enough to join them regarded themselves as distinct and superior than others in the church. Thus, my friends, Jude condemned these false teachers. Oh, yes, he did. For ironically, the very presence of these false teachers who scoffed at the apostles' teachings and all the prophecies of the second coming was a fulfillment of prophecy. Because throughout the scriptures, God mentions that there will be scoffers, especially in the book of 1st and 2nd Peter. Oh, that's right. You see, my friends, the apostles had indicated that these false teachers would be abundant in the last days. Look what it says right here in 1 Timothy. Look at this. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and what? Doctrines of demons. Wow. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with the hot iron. Now, we talked about that hot iron last week, but they departed from the faith. Jesus talked about that there was going to be apostasy, people leaving. Oh, that's right. My goodness, my goodness. Look what it says. I found this in 1 John chapter 2. Look at this. Little children, it is the last hour. As you know, have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, look at this. Many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were what? Not of us. Did you catch that? For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Wow, wow. Look at this in verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. Say that with me at home. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Verse 21. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And that no one, look at this, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and what? And the Son. Look at this in verse 23. It goes on to say, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Verse 24, therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us. What? Eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Wow. Wow, my friends. It's no different. They had an issue back during the time of the apostles, the time of Jesus, and 2,000 years later, it's no different. Listen, there are some people out there having circuses, using the name of God, having these false prophets, having these things for fleecing the flock. Oh, that's right. That's right. Be careful on what you go and listen to. Test the spirits, the Bible says. See whether they're of God or not. Because we are warned in the last days, many false Christs, many false prophets, many false teachers will rise up. This is why Jude emphasized, and many of the epistles written by Paul emphasize of these quote-unquote teachers and ministers and apostles. And nowadays, someone can just name tag themselves, I'm apostle so-and-so. Be careful, saints of God. Be careful, be careful, be careful. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, their presence only furthered and assured the believers that Christ would soon return. Praise God, praise God. So we need to be about our Father's business. Can I get an amen? So let's move on to verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most what? Holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. And this is what we need, my friends. We need to fast and pray. We need to come together. Why? Because there's power. There's power when we come together. I want you to just, I'm going to paint a picture of a hibachi barbecue. And you put 100 coals in there. And then you throw in your lighter fluid. And then you light it and let it just keep on burning for a while until they turn rosy red. Now, you put the grill on, and now you're ready for your meat to be put on the grill. But if you take one of those coals and take it out and set it aside, it will cool down really fast. But yet, the barbecue where it came from, it's still hot. It's still giving heat. Why? Because there's many of them there. And this is why we need to come together in the unity of the faith to pray and to fast and to watch God move. We need to pray until something happens. Can I get amen? We need to pray. Listen, many of us have loved ones that are perishing. Many of them, they're caught up in lifestyles that are ungodly. They're caught up in drugs and alcohol. Some of them are atheists by now. Some of them don't want anything to do with God. And God is calling you and I to reach our family members, our friends, our sphere of influence. There's so many people that surround our life that need the gospel. We're watching a natural war and people dying every day. What about in the spiritual sense, people that surround our life? We need to be about our Father's business, my friends. We need to come together praying and fasting and calling out their name and asking God to do the miracle, the miraculous in their life. Just like how we got saved. It was a miracle. Come on. When you were going to school, when you were a young adult, did you ever had any kind of imagination or a thought that you would be saved? Man, if someone would have told me in high school, you're going to pastor a church when you get into your late 50s, I would have said, what are you smoking? And yet, God has brought it to pass. And with God, all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. My friends, the believers stand against the false teachers if they follow Jews' advice in four areas. And so let's talk of these. Number one, first, they must build on the firm foundation of their faith, standing strong in the power of His might, and unified. Can I get an amen? We need to be unified together in one accord. We cannot allow ourselves to be divided. I have seen so many church splits. I've seen so many people just try to divide, and then after they basically dropped the bomb in the church, then they left. They left the church in ruins. My friends, we need to discern these things. We're living in the last days where the enemy wants to come in and infiltrate the body of Christ to divide us. Why do you think there's so many divorces at home? Because the enemy has crept in to destroy beautiful families. And what's left? It's like an A-bomb. It's like a nuclear bomb. Everyone's disarrayed. The children are in disarray. They have no security no more at home. Why? Because the devil came in and destroyed it. Oh, that's right. Look what it says right here. I'm going to go back to the word right here. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 through 17. The Bible says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. That's us, the temple of the living God. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is what? Christ Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I want to move on to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. No, actually, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Look at this. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being what? Being the chief cornerstone. Look at this. In whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Are you catching this, saints of God? It's all about coming together. It's about building up your faith. It's about building ourselves in the most holy faith. In other words, what we see and recognize and discern what's happening in this world, even in our own home life, our own personal life, God is showing us that we need, number one, Him, and we need to come together in the unity of the faith. You see, saints, they could do this by staying close to other believers and by continuing in worship and including taking communion with one another. Praise God. Now, secondly, Jude encouraged the believers to continue to pray in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prays on our behalf. Did you know that? Sometimes just by getting on your knees, and you may have nothing to lift up to the Lord at that time, but the Holy Spirit knows how to pray for us. Oh, yes, I got scripture. Look at this. Look at this. Now, I want us to go right here to Romans. Look at this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what, how we should pray for as one ought. But the Spirit Himself makes what? Intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows that the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes what? Intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Praise God. Look what I found in Galatians 4 and 6. And because you are the sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out what? Abba. Abba, Father. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this in Ephesians 6, 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in a capital S, Holy Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Saints of God. Prayer opens up our minds to Jesus. Can I get an amen? It does. It does. It takes us to another dimension with him, where we can have that personal commune time with him. Look what was written in John 14, 26. Look at this right here. Look at this. But the helper, who's the helper? The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things, what? That I said to you. Praise God. It's the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Spirit, saints. And look, and the Holy Spirit teaches believers more than about our Lord. Praise God. Oh, that's right. Look at this right here. In John 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will what? Testify of me. Wow. You see, saints, prayer is the lifeline that connects all Christians to their Savior. Believers must never stop praying. Can I get an amen in the house? We need to be about our Father's business, praise God. So now, let's move on to verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Praise God. That's what it's all about. It's about eternal life, saints of God. And so, saints, thirdly, believers should live in such a way that God's love could bless them. Praise God. And this means that believers must stay close to God, real close to him, saints of God, and his people not listening to false teachers who would try to pull them away. And there are so many of them. Look what the Word of God says right here in John 15. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I what? Kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It's all about abiding. It's all about being obedient, saints. You know why? Because obedience is the key. The false teachers had flouted obedience, and thus they had stepped out of God's love, and they did it willfully. And fourthly, saints, the believer should patiently wait for the eternal life promised by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The promise will come true. How many believe that? Because Jesus is about ready to come for his church. Christ will return and bring his people into eternal glory. And I can't wait till that happens. Hallelujah. And while believers have already received this mercy from him, we've been given mercy at the cross. Praise God. You and I, we must wait for the consummation of that mercy when salvation will be made complete. Praise God. Praise God. Look what it says right here in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3, 11 through 14. Look at this. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Look at this. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, believers wait in confidence, expectation. God's promises are not ifs, but whens. Can I get an amen? It's when he comes. It's not if he will come. It's when he comes. And it's close. soon and very soon, the Lord will come for his church. And you and I, we must know beyond any doubt that our Savior, Jesus Christ, will soon return. Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 22 in the book of Jude. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. Verse 23. But others save with fear. Now here's the key, saints. Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. By the flesh. My friends, this is a no-joke matter now. That's right. I'm here to let you know that we have so many friends and family that are headed to the fire. And we just read right now, we are to pull them out of that fire. We are to do everything we could to preach truth. Oh, that's right. Even when they look at you with an evil look, we can't be afraid of that. We cannot be ashamed of speaking truth to them. That's right. We need to let them know that there is a true hell if they deny Christ, if they want to stay in that sin, whatever sin that they're in. And usually it's a sin of unbelief. Oh, that's right. You see, a lot of them will say, hey, I know God. I know who he is. He knows me. Yeah, he knows that you're in sin and that you need to give your life to him. They know that. But we need to be a constant reminder. Listen, why did Jesus call us the salt of the earth? Because salt irritates. You ever put salt on a wound, which is good? It'll disinfect the wound. But when you rub it in, it irritates. It stings. You know, well, sometimes bringing truth to one that's perishing will sting. It will hurt. But our job is not to look for a reaction. Our job is to speak truth and let the Word of God lay where it's going to lay, that one day God will bring them into the saving knowledge. Oh, that's right. You see, saints, although false teachers were hopelessly entrenched in their sin and Satan's grip, the believers had a responsibility to those who had fallen prey to the false teaching. Oh, yes, they did. The first group consists of those believers who have listened to the false teachers and have begun to doubt God's truth. Oh, that's right. That's right. Praise God. They do. And be careful if you send your child off to a secular college. They'll come back atheists. A lot of them have. Why? Because they don't glorify God in those institutions. And saints of God, they still have reservations. So they have not yet joined the false teachers, according to Jude. And these people are not to be ridiculed. Rather, they are to be shown mercy and carefully drawn back into the church, but providing them with what? The true teaching of the gospel. You see, my friends, believers who are well taught in the faith can show mercy to those whose faith is wavering by quietly and calmly talking with them, explaining the urgency and explaining the false teacher's errors and reminding them of the truth that had been originally received. And the second group has gone beyond doubting, my friends, agreeing with false teachers. They are on the road to destruction, and many of them are already headed there. They need someone to literally step in their path and rescue them from the flames of judgment. And the flames refer to the eternal punishment awaiting the false teachers and those who would follow that way. Saints of God, if we saw someone about to be burned by fire, we would what? Quickly grab that person and pull him or her out from harm's way. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. We would. You and I would. Why? Because that's God's grace. That's God's mercy. Praise God. And we want to help them, don't we? We want to help those who are slipping away. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, pulling him or out of harm's way is a thing that we need to do. That's the attitude the true believers are to have toward those sliding toward false teaching and have gravitated to error, the error of their way. You see, the culture has a big influence. You know, you turn on television and everything is perverted now. It's the culture. It's trying to let people know that these things are okay now. All the perversity and the ungodliness. But I'm here to let you know, nothing gets by God. And this is why we need to be the mouthpiece for the Lord. And we need to grab them and pull them away before it is too late, saints of God. Well, that's right. We need ministers and teachers who know how to refute false teaching and defend Christianity so that they can rescue the misinformed. Praise God. And then there's another group. The third group refers to those already in false teachers' camps, those who have already joined them. And these people also need mercy, but believers must be careful so that as not to be contaminated by their sins. Oh, that's right. That's right. In other words, we know them. We know what they're involved in. We know their nature. But a lot of times we can't hang with them. Why? Because their attitude, their mind, their heart, their mouth will contaminate a good man or woman of God. Love them, pray for them, but man, I'm telling you, don't hang with them because that influence will rub off on you. Oh, yes, it will. Especially if there's a whole bunch of them and it's just you. Don't think you're Superman and you have a wonderful defense. I'm telling you, you do not go into the lion's den unless God truly anoints you. And you know you've heard from God. You see, my friends, while believers might try to rescue those deceived people, they must do so without allowing themselves to become contaminated by the false teaching. This will be a difficult task, one to be undertaken with healthy fear and respect for the spiritual warfare when God's power meets head on with Satan's power. Oh, that's right. Believers have God on their side. Yes, we do. But they must remember not to attempt anything in their own power, lest they too fall for prey of the false teacher and the trap of the enemy. Because that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to trap you and I. And so, my friends, let's move on to our next verse. Verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Man, this is what I love about God. He's able to keep us. Can I get an amen? Saints, God is able to keep believers from falling prey to false teachers and to the culture of this world. And although false teachers were widespread and dangerous, although it would be dangerous to attempt to rescue slipping fellow Christians, the believers should not retreat or to be afraid. Can I get an amen? God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of a power and of love and of a sound mind, my friends. And so, my friends, instead, they should trust God and remain rooted and grounded in him. You and I, we must hold on to the cross. We must hold on to the word. We must be under the anointing of God. We need to be under the teaching, the anointing of God, the anointed teaching and preaching of the word of God. Oh, that's right. We can't fall into fairy tales and these sermonettes that everything's okay. You're going to be okay. The world is going to be okay. No, we're in turmoil. We're in the last days. And God is saying, build up your most holy faith and prepare. Prepare that what's surrounding us. And look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, my friends, God can be trusted to bring all believers into his glorious presence. Can I get an amen in the house? And we should praise him for this great promise. The believers could trust that God would do as he promised. And one day, soon and very soon, to himself. But that will not be a day of punishment as it will be for the false teachers and the unbelievers. Rather, it will be a great day of joy. For God will present his people, you and I, innocent of sin and with great joy. When Christ appears and we are given now a new body and we will be like him. Praise God. Look what it says right here in the Word of God. Look at this. In 1 John 3:2. Look at this. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but look at this. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, Jesus coming into Christ's presence will be a time of great joy and refreshing. And God has done this for all his believers. Praise God. Praise God. And so we're going to break down our last verse, verse 25, and conclude in the book of Jude. It says, to God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, contemplating the great joy awaiting all believers and the fulfillment of God's promises of eternal glory, Jude praised God with a beautiful doxology. Jude had originally intended to write about the salvation of all believers shared. He got his chance here. This one final verse captures the focus and goal of believers, their salvation and faith. Christianity is not a series of made-up ideas or free-floating thoughts. It is faith in a person built up upon their most holy faith. And not just any person, but God, who became our Savior through Jesus Christ. To this God alone the believer should ascribe. Hallelujah. Look at this, my friends. I'm going to close with these points right here. Look at this. Number one, glory. In that passage of Scripture, it talked about glory in verse 25. And what is glory? God's power, His radiance, His greatness, His complete moral superiority and splendor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. Look at number two, majesty. God's transcendent greatness. He is great. He is awesome. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Hallelujah, for He is God. Look at number three, power. God's self-contained might. His control over the entire world. He has the power to raise the dead. Hallelujah. And He raised us up from our dead state of mind, our spiritual deadness, and He made us come alive unto Him by the power of the risen Christ. Hallelujah. Look at number four, authority. Authority, God's sovereignty over all physical and moral laws in the entire universe. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, these qualities reside in God alone. Jesus Christ is our Lord, meaning that He too has all glory, majesty, power, and authority as God Himself could, for He is God. And this was true before the ages began, and it is true in the present day. Can I get an amen? And it will continue to be true forevermore, forevermore, and forevermore. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, my question right now to each and every one of us. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the King? Jesus is coming again. How many can't wait? How many can't wait? Oh, yes, He is. That's right. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, and he wrote this right here. Let's look at this. He wrote this, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Look at this. Hallelujah. Even so, God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. My friends, this is around the corner. Many theologians believe between Pentecost and trumpets that we could be raptured. This is a rapture watch moment for us, because the Bible is clear. We're not appointed unto wrath, but under salvation. And so the tribulation is around the corner, and we're not appointed for the tribulation. God's going to take his bride home, and we're going to celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb. We're going to praise God for the coronation of the king. His father will present him with the crown. Hallelujah. And we're all going to be witnesses there in heaven. Praise God. Then we're going to come back with him, and God will take his final judgment on this earth. It'll be the battle of Armageddon. And then God's going to set up his kingdom, the millennium reign, for 1,000 years. And we will rule and reign with him. Praise God. But the greatest event that's going to take place soon and very soon on this planet is this right here. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall what? All be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. Wow. My friends, are you ready? Are you ready? I know I've been preparing myself for many years. My wife has been preparing herself for many years. And many of our congregants at Amazing Grace have been preparing for Jesus to return. But maybe you have logged in, and maybe you attend a church where they don't teach you this. They're asleep at the wheel like many others. And then there are wonderful ministries that are alive and well, no differently than us, that's telling the truth. Jesus is soon to return. Oh, yes, he is. And listen, if you're watching for the first time, second time, maybe third time, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, you never repented of your sins, you never walked away from the sinful life and to turn to Jesus to save you, that is an act of repentance. That is a heart that wants to repent. Then when you come and confess that to the Lord, that you acknowledge that you are a sinner, you have sinned, then the miraculous takes place. Then he applies the blood of Jesus Christ upon you, and he washes away your sins. And once that takes place, the Holy Spirit comes in to live inside you. And my goodness, when the Holy Spirit comes in, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. You will know without a shadow of a doubt that you are now heaven bound and a hell to shun. But if that has not happened just yet, do not let what you see right now happen to you. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Well, my friends, that's always going to be the million-dollar question. Are you ready? Are you ready? My friends, if you're not ready, Do what the scripture says to do. Do what was written 2,000 years ago. The very first sermon given by the Apostle Peter really resonates till the day right now that we live in today's world. Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we see a sermon being preached to many unbelievers that were there at the feast of Pentecost. And it went just like this. Let's take a look. Then Peter said to them, repent, which we talked about, turning from your sin, turning to God. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. That means forgiveness of sins. That means water baptism. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift is eternal life. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Wow. Wow, my friends. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Praise God. Praise God. Amen and amen. Listen, I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you're never giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's watching right now to pray with me so that I can pray for you, that you will have the opportunity to repent and give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask God to come into your heart. Ask God to save you. And the Word of God promises that if we turn to Him and we cry out, the Bible says, a broken spirit and a contrite heart, God will not despise. So you come humbly yet boldly. You come broken and yet you come willingly. And ask God to save you. That He would give you an opportunity. That you would turn from your sins. And so bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Listen, someone just got saved. And if that's you, listen, down below is our website. Log on. Our phone number, our email's there. Reach out to us. Let us know that you gave your heart to God tonight, and we want to give you a Bible. We want to lead you into a path of righteousness through the Word of God and point you to a good church that will preach and teach the unadulterated Word of God. And I also want to thank and praise God for all those who still continue to support our ministry. Down below, as you can see, donations are deeply appreciated. So, my friends, we conclude with the book of Jude. I hope you were blessed with this series. And I'm looking forward to seeing you Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, I want to send my benediction as we are dismissed for this evening. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And so it's time for me to say goodnight. We thank and praise God for each and one of you who have logged in to receive the precious Word of God. We look forward to seeing you Sunday morning, 10 a.m. at 5305. Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. Take care. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.